Welcome to the Well-Spoken Word Podcast. Our mission is to coach developing leaders to speak with clarity and confidence. Now let's join host Mark Stafford and your speaking coach Dave Arden as they tackle the shackles that hold you back.
Hey, this is Mark Stafford. I'm here with your speaking coach, Dave Arden, and we want to welcome you to the Well-Spoken Word Podcast. Now, today our focus is on listening. Now, listening is important because it facilitates effective communication. You know, when we listen while we're preparing to give a speech, while preparing to do public speaking, we're creating an environment that both respects those who are listening to us and it helps us to understand where they're coming from. You know, additionally, when we're listening to people, it really helps us to avoid misunderstandings or maybe saying something that would be inappropriate or bringing about a conflict you didn't need
to bring about.
And so we can kind of keep our audience on the same page with us because connecting with your audience is really important. And so Dave, hey, share with me a few of your thoughts about how listening is important when you're working on being a better communicator.
Well, communication really begins, Mark, with listening. When we come into a place, we're really reading the room. Who are the people? Where are they at in stage of life? Where are they at in their own day-to-day happenings? And how can we tie into them so they really understand where we're trying to go? You know, we learn the letters of the alphabet by listening. We learn to understand one another by listening. And we really go deeper in relationship when we're listening to each other. So I love that verse in James 1:19. Everyone must be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And just by virtue of the fact that I talk fast, I've broken this commandment, Mark, more than any other commandment in the Bible. I talk too fast.
And so, slow to speak, Dave.
on my grave. That's my goal. But it's vital. You know, it really is vital. Are we eager, leaning in to listen? Are we adept at listening? And great leaders are great listeners. And that's been a big struggle I've had along with speaking. Right. So the Lord's had to show me how to be more effective in that direction and teach me.
Yeah. And in addition to that, Dave, I mean, by listening to others, we demonstrate respect towards people, empathy towards people. We foster a better, you know, positive environment, both within our church staff and within our church. You know, if you're dealing with ministry, you know, leaders and pastors that listen attentively, it shows to other people that you value their ideas, you value their opinions, you value their perspectives. How have you seen that play out as you've been leading ministries over the years, Dave?
When we're sharing truth or sharing Christ or sharing insight, even to our own kids, right? Really needing to let them know we care about them. And how best to show we care than to by closing off our mouth and saying, really, what's going on with you? And how can I help you? And really drilling down into their emotional, spiritual needs. And how do we know those needs if we don't take the time to listen?
Yeah, you know, I've had guys who I've worked for in the past that I knew I was just a tool for them to get some stuff done. And nobody likes feeling like a tool, man. I've worked for other leaders who really understood like my needs, my aspirations, my dreams, my gifting, and they were trying to, you know, put me into those positions. And a lot of that comes through active listening, right? And, you know, really listening to your people, listening to your congregation. How have you seen that work out, Dave?
Mark, I love that. You're exactly right. Because if we're a really strong leadership, and strong leadership is that, yeah, there's a strong vision, and yeah, there's a direction we're striving to move toward. However, we need to operate within the gifts and strengths God's given us. And so with a team, we need to understand, hey, where do we fit together? Where are our strengths? Where are our weaknesses? Right. And how do we blend our gifts to where we're operating together? And if we can't listen to the people under our team and find out their gifts and really drill down into really what makes them tick, we're gonna struggle to get alignment and move forward movement.
Yeah, you know, I had a professor in college that drilled into us, lead to your strengths, staff to your weaknesses, over and over again, lead to your strengths, staff to your weaknesses. Yeah, and that just goes all the way around. And then helping your staff also to lead to their strengths and then to hire more staff for the weaknesses we have on our staff. Yeah, have you seen that to be the case, Dave?
Staff, absolutely. It's really vital to help our staff understand where they fit. For leading a business, understanding, you know, where our customers are. We're teaching in a school, understanding where our kids are. That's really, really key.
Now, Dave, you've served in a number of different roles over the years. You've been a pastor for many years. You've been a church planter and a church planting coach. You know, currently you're working with the persecuted church for a parachurch organization. You've done a lot of things, but as somebody who is well-versed in the Bible, tell me a little bit about what the Bible has to say about listening. Maybe have an example there.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we learn from the Bible, right? Good and bad. Characters to follow, examples to look at. And certainly Christ was a great listener in tune with his Father, wanting to do his Father's will. But our key and our main character in our study of Chosen to Speak is the character Moses. And Moses was a case study and was a great example of what to do in some cases and really what not to do. And Moses struggled to listen. Israel was suffering and he was willing to go spend time with them. He got in with the people. He saw the pain. But then he was looking for his own plans for freedom because he killed a man. So he really wasn't in tune, wasn't listening to God. At the burning bush,
Right.
That's not good for your career.
No,
wandered
it's
off
not.
In the wilderness for 40 years, right? But then also when he met the Lord at the burning bush, 40 years of wandering, right? Moses thinking the best years of his career were behind him. And yet God shows up at the burning bush and says, hey, I've got a plan for you. I want to go. And he just really did not want to listen to the Lord at first. He's like, I'm not going. I can't speak well. I've got a problem. I'm out. And then the Lord, of course, prevails upon him. But again, the struggle to listen was big for him. He didn't get it. And through some of his failures, he finally wakes up. But it took him a while to grow into the role of a national leader.
Yeah, well, I like the title of your book, Chosen to Speak. And I think that some of our listeners might find themselves in that position, just like Moses did, that it wouldn't have totally been his choice to speak. It wasn't like, he was this burgeoning public speaker. He wanted to be the motivational speaker. He just had this gift of gab. It was more that God had chosen him to be in this leadership role and he needed to grow into it. And I imagine that's something kind of like your journey, right, Dave?
Mark, it is such a mystery to me. It's such a struggle, honestly, to accept the fact that God has called me, somebody who struggled all my life to speak, to get out front and to be a voice and to be a messenger when everything, so many things inside of me just aren't aligned to that direction. I got insecurities. I've got a painful past. The words trip out every time and on a regular basis. And yet God's like, no, I'm using you. You're going to be my child. I'm going to use you. Excuse me. You're going to be my voice. I'm going to use you. And you're going to do fine once you get past yourself. And so that's really the goal, right? We have to get past ourselves to see the bigger purpose, the bigger calling, and then step into the commitment, regardless of what we think it may or may not, regardless of whether it sounds great to us or not.
Right. Well, hey, speaking about the Chosen to Speak book, I want to go to a break right now, and we'll learn a little bit more about the Chosen to Speak ministry, the Chosen to Speak book, and how you can get involved with that. We'll be right back.
Do you struggle to find your own voice or to speak with confidence in public? Do you need to grow in effectiveness as a speaker in order to become a better leader? If so, then the Chosen to Speak book and Chosen to Speak community can help. They have a mission to coach developing leaders to speak with clarity and confidence. Start your journey today by ordering the Chosen to Speak book. Chosen to Speak can be found on Amazon.com. Now back, Well-Spoken Word.
Welcome back to the Well-Spoken Word podcast. My name is Mark, and I'm here with your speaking coach, Dave Arden. And Dave, we want to talk about a tipping point, the tipping point that happens when you realize that you need to listen to people better, or maybe you haven't built a very good rapport with your staff, or maybe it's that the environment that you're working in, it just isn't quite right. Maybe things around the office are a little tense, or maybe you're not getting the best performance out of your people. There can be a lot of things that factor into the fact that you might, as a leader, realize that you're not listening to your people very well. Dave, I want to just toss right back to you. What have you found is a thing that with leaders and speaking and listening, like what leads them to a more dedicated listening posture rather than more of a dedicated, blabbing posture that they're listening to people as much as they're talking? What usually makes that transition happen with leaders?
There's two things that are key in my leadership journey, Mark. First of all, failure. Nothing like failure to realize, hey, I'm not achieving on my own. I'm not getting where I want to get. And just to get slammed down and say, I've got to grow, I've got to learn, and I need to listen to the Lord more, I need to listen to other leaders more, and I need to just back off and take a greater posture. I'll just be really honest, back in the late 90s, we had in Irving, Texas, got a church planted up and going in the first few years. It was really thriving. We had a lot of people come in, growth, that God was blessing us, and the big question came out about going to two services, and we just barreled ahead into a three-year-old church into two services, and we were not ready. We did not listen to the Lord well. I don't think we were listening to other leaders well, although they told us some other folks pushed us that direction too, but it was on me. I'm the leader. I'm responsible. I'm the lead pastor at the time. So I learned in two or three painful years in the valley, we never did get our momentum back after we went to two services too soon. But the Lord showed me, you've got to not make really one big or small move until hey, I'm in this, I'm out in front, instead of just barreling ahead and dragging God into stuff. No, it's God leading us, and are we moving forward? And the other thing that's really helped me become a better listener is coaching. The best way to coach others is to be coached. And a good coach is going to listen around 80% of the time, talk around 20% of the time. Honestly, I went to 10 years of coaching training, and I started out listening about 25% of the time and talking 75% of the time in my conversations. And I'm still, I don't think I'll ever get to 80% listening, but every year it seemed like I got another 10% of, no, I really want to hear. I really want to listen. So coaching and being coached in that relationship really helps put us in a position of like, no, I need to learn to listen more effectively.
Yeah, you know, I found that usually in my case, it comes down to organizational success. That's usually where the tipping point is for me, that I'm looking at what I'm doing. I'm like, man, this is not working. What is going on? You know, in a ministry setting, maybe people just aren't coming in the door. Or I run an advertising agency. And so it can be a number of different things there. It can be that revenue is down or that we're running a campaign that just isn't netting the results. And then we have to go back and say, man, maybe we're not hearing something right. Maybe we're not listening to customers. Maybe we're not listening to our clients. Maybe we're not listening to, in a church setting, the people who are gathering. I think the same thing with counseling, you know, that really sitting down with a couple and listening to their needs and not just jumping to conclusions. I can get a little bit impatient about that sort of thing. Maybe not the greatest counselor.
And this could lead us in, leads us in the direction of practical help for leaders. But typically when we're asking a question, we're not waiting for them to respond and then asking the question based upon them. When we ask a question, we're thinking essentially as they're talking, what's the next question we're going to ask? But good listening is, no, we ask a question, we wait till they're through the entire answer, and then we formulate a new question based upon what they've just said. They call it a clarifying question, right? Tell me more about this area. And that for me has really been a good tool and good help for listening, is just asking clarifying questions. But I've had to learn and had to kind of grow into that more and more.
Yeah, asking really good questions and being curious about people. You know, I found that that's the thing that it was a tipping point for me, that I needed to actually be interested in what somebody was trying to go through and then ask questions so I could understand them better. Well, Dave, how would you say you rank, people would rank themselves as listeners? I mean, how do people go about doing that? You said you went from a 2 and you're now up to maybe a 5 or 6. Like, what would constitute a 2? What would constitute a 5? Like, how do people rank themselves?
Coaching question of the day, Mark. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being highest, where do you rank yourself as a listener? And if you're being honest, and most new and developing leaders really start around a 2 or 3. That's where I started when I was learning early in as a leader, maybe a -2 or 3. Mm-hmm. I didn't listen well. I didn't understand. Listening to my own spouse, my own family, right? Struggling at times. My daughter would say, Dad, you're not listening to me. And I'm like, what? You're right. I'm not listening to you. Okay. So getting in that, I'm a 2 is just, you know, a surface listener, but going into 5, 6, 7, really 7 or 8 is that listener that's deeper, more attentive, more willing to lean into really, where are you going with this? Not just physically, what are they saying in the words, but emotionally and spiritually, where are they at? So that I can really get in tune with this individual and help us work together.
Well, that brings us to a passage that comes to mind, Proverbs 19:20. It says this, listen to counsel and accept discipline that you may be wise the rest of your days. So Dave, tell me this, according to this passage, what are some of the benefits of being a strong listener?
Well, Mark, listening is vital and it's so key in leadership. And I just think about, Mark, I appreciate the question. I want to look at some of the benefits. In our book, in chapter 3 on listening, we talk about the importance and the benefits of listening. Better listening and understanding draws us closer into intimacy and relationship. Strong listening helps us able to discern with better insight, difficulties, problems, scenarios. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, better listening makes us more effective as a leader and brings out a better impact and really helps us to troubleshoot. Oftentimes, if we're not listening as a leader and there's a problem, there's some troubleshooting we need to do. And if we're barreling down the road with our vision and not allowing people to really get into it, we're not getting buy-in from them because we're not listening. We're not getting team building because we're not listening. But the stronger the team, the stronger the impact. The more we can build that strong team, the bigger the impact we can make. Listening is key in that.
Yeah, and I think that's something that we learned from Christ as he was doing his ministry. He often asked some really interesting questions. The one that comes to mind right away is when he said to Peter, who do people say that I am? And he said something that you're a prophet or John the Baptist and some of these other things. And he said, who do you say that I am? And he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I mean, it was so powerful when Peter proclaimed that, and that was stimulated by a really great question. We see a lot of examples in the scriptures where Jesus asked some really incredible questions. Why do you think that Jesus did that? Why did he choose to ask questions and not just to talk at people? Certainly, if anybody could have just talked at people, it would have been Jesus. But why did he start probing like that?
Yeah, it's typical to want to get in lecture mode, right? Just tell people what we know. But questions are vital, right? Questions probe people. Questions provoke what they're thinking. Jesus knew how to read a room, and he would provoke question, provoke thought. He wanted to test people. you know, when he's in with Pilate, right, and within with other leaders, he's asking questions. Why do you call me Lord, Lord? Don't do what I say. You know, he's making them think. And sometimes Jesus will even go as far as answering a question with a question. We see the classic example like the Lord does in the book of Job. You know, why is there suffering? And the Lord doesn't really give him a great answer, honestly. Where were you when heavens were created and when the oceans were formed? So questions really go help us go deeper with others, drill down and help cultivate ideas and thinking and growth ultimately.
Yeah. Now I think that gets into not only listening to others, but also into listening to God, you know, like through prayer and Bible study. Why do you think it's important as leaders, especially as leaders of Christian organizations, that we are consistent with our time that we're spending listening to God through prayer and through his word?
Well, this thing is so important, Mark, is that we're making disciples, and we're called to make disciples, right, as leaders, and called to help people come to the Lord. Listening to the Lord about, hey, who to reach out to, who to connect with, the Holy Spirit being deeply involved in that. It's really getting in tune with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's helping us to know where to think, to know where to look, and to really look out on where those are out there that we can reach and reach out to. I love the question, where are you at in a sense of, you know, what has God called you to be and to do? Most people that aren't familiar with God, they're not threatened by the question, but it's simply a genuine question of, yeah, really, where are you at? Where do you see yourself, and how do you see God viewing you? And asking that question certainly on a personal level gets them a deeper understanding, clarity of who they are in the sight of God. But in leading an organization, it's so important that we're in tune with the Lord and we're moving in the direction he wants us to go. How do we bear fruit, right? It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit, helping people become more like Christ, love, joy, peace, more wisdom, more patience, more strength in the Lord. And that fruit of the Holy Spirit in multiplying Christ has got to be done in listening to Christ and letting Christ flow through us. And if we're not allowing him to flow through us, if we're not listening to what he's wanting to say, then how are we going to be effective? And just a classic example, if we're teaching a Sunday school, maybe pastoring a lesson, you know, typically in a message, we're going to have maybe three or four things we can pull out of a 7 or 10 verse passage, right? But what's the Lord want to say? What's the Holy Spirit wanting to say based upon who our audience is, where he wants to go, and what the needs of the people are? And he's able to give us that insight if we're willing to pipe down long enough for him to speak. So that's one of the messages today, pipe down, right?
Pipe down long enough for God to speak. So tell me this. I mean, have you seen it at all possible for a leader to effectively lead a ministry if they're not in regular Bible study and prayer? I mean, sometimes they can get stuff done, but is it effective?
That's a sobering question, Mark. And I'd say it'd be very difficult to lead a healthy organization if we're not listening to God. I mean, not a Christian organization anyway. Eventually, we're going to run into some kind of major roadblocks. But I will say, in terms of making disciples, and again, let's just kind of go there. Our win is, one of our big wins is just making disciples. We want to help people to zero in on who they are, what they're called to do. And then out of that strength and out of that ability, our first client that came in actually was a real estate agent, a brother named Moses Acevis in West Phoenix, Surprise area. I met him at a Starbucks. He's coming in while we're finishing our book, and his name is Moses. And like, here's a guy named Moses, and I'm writing a book about Moses. Coming to find out, he's a real estate agent who's really struggled in larger groups to present his real estate plan, and he would melt like butter. So I'm like, hey, why don't you jump in with our plan? And the Lord really taught him to listen and lead well and speak out in a really creative way, because he was willing to say, you know what, I'm a flawed guy, and I need help with my flaws. And so that's Moses. He was a flawed character. People are drawn to that. And yet the Lord taught him to listen and to lead with some good coaching too, by the way, with Jethro and others who helped him pour into him. Right. So.
Right. Right. Well, now, Dave, you have led some churches over the years. You have led some churches in some difficult places to plant a church.
Yes.
We've talked before that you and I are part of a small club of people who have planted churches. And for that matter, you and I have planted a church in the same city before. Tell me a little bit about that. I mean, you've led some churches to really look outside of the four walls of the church, to look at the needs of the community. I think that every church planter, that's just part of the DNA of a church planter. What advice would you give a leader today who needs to listen more carefully to the landscape of their community, the landscape of their city? What advice would you give a leader who is trying to listen to their community?
Well, Mark, you're right about that small club. It's a small club of rural Arizona planters. And just to be clear, there's a lot of planters out there, but you and I have a unique niche of planting in the same small town in rural Arizona, which puts us in a unique group. But as a planter, a catalyst, if you will, when we're going to a new community, we want to listen before we get out there and try to engage with different activities. What's really going on? What's making them tick? I think about Nehemiah when he got back to, you know, sent to Jerusalem to build the walls. For 3 days, he just walked around and just observed, right? Because he wanted to listen well and see what was going on. If he told him he was going to rebuild the walls, you know, they were going to shut him down before he even really got started. So I think it's important as we're going into new areas and and take a new territory that we're observing, hey, what's the spiritual climate? What's the relational climate? What's going on? And so to do that, we got to be out with the people. We've got to be not just at Starbucks sitting behind our computer, you know, checking stuff out, although that's one way. It's knocking on doors, doing some surveys. For years, I've knocked on hundreds of doors in this town. And again, we're speaking of Cottonwood, where we both planted here. Knocked on hundreds of doors over the years. Hey, tell us about your life. You know, what are you looking for in a church? And tell us about your relationship with your neighbors. And do you like the town or not? Or do you hate the town? It's interesting. I heard one pastor in the West Valley in Phoenix, we served down there as well, and says, hey, how come you, how did you end up in this town? And it's funny how people would say, you know, I don't know. I just ended up in Phoenix somehow. So people can share a lot. We're willing to ask questions, right? They're like, they're willing to give, but we got to get out there and ask questions and be able to engage them. So taking the time ultimately to get out there and discern from our audience, what are their needs? Where can they grow and where can they learn the most?
You know, one of the best examples I've seen lately of this, and we're getting to the end of the show and I'm not going to take a lot of time with this, but there was a new church that they were starting a city over from Cottonwood. And the group that was starting this church started asking the question, what does this community actually need? Do they need another building that's empty most of the week where people gather on Sunday mornings, or do they need something else? And as they begin asking that question and coming up with answers, they say, what this community really needs is a community center and a preschool. So let's put together a community center and a preschool, and then let's put the church inside of that on Sunday morning. And I thought, man, that's really helpful, because I thought that was a great example of a church and some leaders that were listening to their community, meeting the community where they were at, and then engaging with their community. And that particular community center serves thousands of people every week currently right now. Well, you know, with that being said, Dave, we got to wrap this thing up, man. So I want to hear you a little bit about how people can get started with your Chosen to Speak ministry, how they can get the book, how they get some coaching. Tell us how people can connect with you.
Yes, thank you so much for joining us today. We're really delighted and excited to walk on this journey together. We're creating a community of people who can really coach one another and support one another in public speaking and leadership. And like we've said before, for those out there that are struggling, the big question is, who can I trust to really help us grow together, learn together, and move forward together? So we want to invite you to our website, chosentospeak.com. We want you to look about our vision, which our mission is to help developing leaders speak with confidence and with clarity. We want you to invite you on this journey where you can find a trusted coach to help guide you on the path. So we'd love you to check out our website, and you can contact us at contact@chosentospeak.com. That's contact@chosentospeak.com. And we just want to invite you to come back for our next show and stay in tune, and let's grow together.
All right. Thanks, Dave. And this has been, this is the end of the episode. So it's been great chatting with you today about this. This has been the Well-Spoken Word Podcast. We'll talk to you next time.
The Well-Spoken Word Podcast is a production of Chosen to Speak Ministries. Learn more about Chosen to Speak at chosentospeak.com.